Miss Mary, is the recording on? Okay, we're ready to go. All right. I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 23rd, 2023 City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of Savannah ZBA are recorded. Decisions of this Board of Appeals are final. Challenges to the decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. I ask you at this time, if you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please silence them. And if you will, stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer. Father, we just thank you for time to come together to do the business of this city. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of living in Savannah. And Father, I just ask you, give us wisdom to make right decisions here. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, we thank you for it. I ask your blessings on the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so I don't forget it, if you are going to speak here today or give testimony, if you'll please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. All right. We have two items that are requested to be removed from the final agenda. That is 336 Barnard Street, an appeal by Andrew Jones, agent for Anna Habersham Wright, regarding a special exception 22-005355-COA, 22-006005-ZBA, and 1806 Live Oak, variances request to the minimum lot width and minimum lot area, 22-005897-ZBA. Would anybody like to make a motion to remove these from final agenda?
I move.
Excuse me, not remove. Yeah, remove them.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, before the vote, I just wanted to suggest to the board a date to continue these items to the petitioner for item number two, 1806 Live Oak Street, has requested that this be continued to the next regular meeting.
Okay, and what about the first one? Has there been a...
There is not a date that was requested by the applicant, so I think the board needs to set that date.
Okay, Mrs. Jarrett, would you like to amend your motion?
Move to approve removal of the two items to next meeting.
Okay.
Certain.
Second.
All right, there's been a motion to remove these two items from the final agenda and continue them to the next meeting of the ZBA. There's been a by Mrs. Jarrett. There's a second by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'll let y'all go first.
All right. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Chairman, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you again, but just in terms of the discussion, I just wanted to add to the record that the petitioner on the 336 Barnard Street item that's requested to be removed, his intent for the removal is to continue this item because there's pending litigation that will not be done by the time this is heard. I'm not suggesting that the board wait on that because that could be a very long time. So in other words, if this comes back next month, that issue will not have been addressed.
We can vote on it again next month when we
can
know more
yes.
about it. Yeah. Yeah. So since there is there's a motion on the table and it's been seconded. So
I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay, thank you. All right, and Mrs. Jared, you vote yes. Mr. Evans is not here. Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes, and both of these items are continued until next month. Next, we have the minutes, the approval of the minutes from the January 26, 2023 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. There's no discussion on the motion. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes and the minutes are approved. Next, we'll entertain a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you. If you need a chance to second to look that over, please do so. And if you'd like to make a motion, you can go ahead and do that.
Motion to approve the final agenda.
All right. Second.
Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve the final agenda. It's been seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes and the final agenda is approved. First, we're going to hear the application for 1018 Abercorn Street, variance to the minimum rear yard setback, 23-000468.
Just a reminder to the board, please remember to turn your microphones on when you're speaking. Thank you.
Hold on 1 minute. What did I do? All right, good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members, Melissa Leto, MPC staff. This item is for an address, 1018 Abercorn Street. The applicant is requesting a variance to reduce the minimum rear yard setback requirement from 10 feet required to 7 feet 4 inches to allow for the construction of a three-story 2,100 square foot building with commercial space on the first floor and residential units on the second and third floor. This is a vicinity map of the parcel, and then let me show you. They are two different buildings, so Unit A and Unit B, and they both will be demolished in order to construct this structure with commercial on the first floor and then the second and third floors being residential. The subject property at 1018 Abercorn Street, Units A and B, is currently, like I said, two separate buildings constructed at approximately the same time and are considered non-contributing resources within the National Register of Victorian Historic District and the local Victorian Historic District. The buildings fall outside the period of significance for this district, which is 1799 through 1923. Although the supplement associated with the contributing resource map indicates the date of construction as 1930, the buildings do not appear on the Sanborn maps until 1966. Therefore, they were constructed between 1953 and 1966. And as well, May 26, 2022, the two buildings were approved to be demolished at staff level through Historic Preservation Department. The applicant is requesting the 7 foot 4 inches within the 10 foot minimum rear yard setback. This is their rear yard essentially. So there's a building right next to them, and then this is Unit A and Unit B, and then their rear yard abuts a one story single family home. And they have received a letter of support from that property. Let's see where to go. The property owner for 210 East Park Avenue, which is the single family home, wrote a letter of support. Let me show you. As I go over the findings, staff finds the parcel at 210 East Park Avenue to the rear of the subject property is a developed one-story single-family home. The request to construct 3 feet and 8 inches into the 10-foot required rear yard setback is a minimal request. There are special circumstances peculiar to this property or structure. And if I show you the vicinity map, it is in general one of the smallest parcels, measuring at 0.03 acres or 1,306.8 square feet within the area, the development pattern. Therefore, staff finds it is subject to special consideration. And if the variance was granted, would confer special privilege that is denied to similar properties. No other lots on the subject block have a similar lot size in this district and are limited with the same circumstances of abutting a single family home and not a lane. And let me go to the letter recommendation. Staff recommendation, based upon the variance criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested variance to reduce the rear yard setback from 10 feet to 7 feet 4 inches. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Leto. Are there any questions for staff? All right. Would the petitioner like to come forward, please? State your name for the record.
The petitioner is Jay Elder Studio, agent for NTNK LLC.
Hey, I'm Martin Ronasegi, representing Jay Elder Studio. I guess it's pretty cut and dry. So we're requesting to reduce the rear setback in order to build this three-story building that was approved at MPC, HPC. The lot is quite small, and as is right now, if this is approved, the footprint of the building would be approximately 700 square feet. So if you guys have any questions.
Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much. Any members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? All right, well, hearing none, we'll move into board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mr. Condon?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Plump?
No, sir.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I move that we accept petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jared. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mrs. Jared, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes and variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear a variance request for 904 East 38th, file number 23-000474. This is for lot width and size reduction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one moment. Oh, hold on. Where do we have the hang open here? Yeah, I guess so. That's fine.
Yeah, I just went.
Okay. So here we have a request for a two variances on this property. It's zoned TR1 over on 904 East 38th Street, traditional residential. The minimum lot size requirement for this district is 3,000 square feet, and the minimum lot width requirement is 40 feet. Just to note quickly, if there is a lane on the lot, like lane access from the rear, the size requirement is lower. It's a 30-foot wide instead, but these lots don't have any lanes, so in case that comes up. But anyway, this is basically a proposed subdivision of a property here. I've got it marked right there on the corner of East 38th. The applicant is proposing to divide that lot into three lots right over here. And each of these lots would be 30 feet wide and would be 2,700 square feet rather than the minimum 3,000 square feet. Let's see here. So this is the basically the map of the proposed subdivision. So the subject property itself is 92 feet wide. As it is right now, the applicant could divide this into two parcels that are both 46 feet wide and that both would meet the minimum size requirement for the TR1 district by right. They wouldn't need a variance for that. However, they would like to request a variance to get three lots out of this property rather than two that they could do by right. Again, this lot does not have lane access, and so it requires a 40-foot width in this district. It should be noted there are a significant number of lots in the surrounding area that are this size. I'll scroll down to show you this map here. So I've marked out the ones that are 30 feet wide and around 2,700 square feet. They're anywhere from 2,600 to 2,900. But these lots are all about the size of the proposed subdivision lots. And I should also note that about a year ago, we had these lots here come in for a subdivision. This lot right here is 60 feet. This was approved by the board. It is 60 feet, and it was subdivided into two. It hasn't been sold yet, so it's not marked on the map. But this board did approve the subdivision of this lot into two 30-foot wide lots. As I said, there are a number of 30-foot lots in this area. However, there are also a number of 40-foot wide lots here that also don't have lane access. And we have a 60-foot lot across the street here. There is sort of a variation here, but there is basically the historic pattern of development of these 30-foot lots, whereas this one here was just never subdivided. So the requested variance is not likely to be detrimental to public health, safety, welfare. However, the variances to development standards are intended to address burdens or hardships, which we have not found this to be one. The property is not of a peculiar size or shape. And again, I just want to stress it would be possible to subdivide this into two properties, put two good-sized single-family homes on this property without any kind of a variance. The literal interpretation of these regulations would not deny the applicant of their rights. Granting variances in this case is similar to a rezoning, basically in order to achieve a unit count that would otherwise not be permitted. And the variance, if granted, would be the minimum for the proposed design. However, again, the property can be reasonably developed as it is right now. So with all that in mind, this is a street view picture of the area as well, but with all that in mind, we are recommending denial of this petition, and I'll take any questions from the board.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mrs. Jarrett.
The parking is your main concern?
We are concerned about parking. There are lots where people have been able to basically create easements and have these parking spaces come through the back of the. We've seen similar things where people have been able to basically have an easement run through the back here, park there. It's possible to do and to have on-street parking, but the applicant did not request a parking variance, so it would be assumed if this did pass, they would have to park on-site.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Conlon, you have any questions?
No.
Jones?
No. Okay.
Well, thank you. Would the applicant please come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert McCorkle from law firm McCorkle Johnson McCoy here on behalf of the petitioner. My client acquired this piece of property, which as was mentioned by staff, is 92 feet wide. They're trying to put back the historic lots. We've talked about this many times over the years, and we've had many of these variances that I've handled and that other people have handled that have come before y'all in this neighborhood and in other neighborhoods. As y'all know, these lots were all historically 30 feet when they were laid out. All of the deeds for these properties still refer to the original lot numbers, the three lot numbers that we're trying to reestablish. The city has had a rule for years in place that if individual owner owned multiple lots and then the zoning changed and that zoning made their lots pre-existing non-conforming uses, then they treated them as being recombined, even though the owner may have never filed a recombination plat or asked for them to be recombined, which is the case here. And you know, over these years, as we've gone through these requests, typically the main consideration, at least in my opinion, having my experience in doing this, has been what are the other lots on the block face? What are the other lots in the immediately surrounding area? And I think that that is relevant even beyond just what the standards are, because as y'all know, these standards were placed onto these neighborhoods and this particular neighborhood after the neighborhood was developed and after the houses were built. And so these houses that are on this block, for instance, were not built to the standards that apply to it under the zoning ordinance. They already existed, and standards were placed on top of them that don't actually represent what is happening on the ground. This is a common situation in a lot of different areas, and it may be true for one block and not true on another block, but we have a large zoning district that applies to every single block, every single house in a large area. So with this particular piece of property, this is the piece of property here. This shows you the houses that exist on the block. You will see there are basically 20 lots on the block face that include the block face that we're on and the face immediately facing us. Of those 20 lots, 18 of them are 30 feet or less. 18 of them of the 20 have less than 3,000 square feet of lot area for the houses. The only two that do not are this one that's on the corner here that's across the street and the lot that we're talking about here today. And so here's a picture that shows all of the lots on the block face that are under 30 feet wide and under 3,000 square feet, in addition to the ones that are immediately adjacent to it on the next block face. These are the pictures of the lot, just for the block, just for context. This is our empty lot. This is the side of our empty lot and the house immediately next to it, which is on a lot that's less than 30 feet. This is what is farther down on the same side of the block. Very nice places. Very lovely, built on 30-foot lots, still meeting the setback requirements, which is what my client would intend to do. These are the houses that are across the street, just to the left of the house that's on the corner. Again, all 30-foot lots, all houses that are built. Some meet the setback requirements, some do not because they predate them. And so this seems to have been kind of the order that these things have gone in the past. We were here in March of 2022 for this exact same request on the same block. So this red dot here is 914 East 38th Street. We were actually here for the same client. And the client acquired that piece of property, and we requested the exact same variance we're requesting here today. When we were here in March of last year, we actually had a staff recommendation for approval for the same variance, and this board approved the variance request, and the property has been subdivided. The only reason it's not shown on Sages that way is because it's taken us until now to get the PIN numbers out of the county, so that's why it still shows up as one block. And so, you know, when you're looking at the standards, to me, staff has confirmed this is not going to be injurious to the neighborhood. It's not going to be injurious to the neighbors. It's consistent with what's there. And then we have these other standards. And yes, it's true that this particular piece of property can be divided into two lots and have two houses built. The only thing we're here to ask today is, can we build two houses or can we build three houses on this lot? And I understand and acknowledge that in certain places, this wouldn't be appropriate. On certain areas where there are not a lot of 30-foot wide lots, and there's not a lot of houses built on 30-foot wide foot lots, and everything else was 60 feet, and I was coming to you to ask for 330s at the end of a block like that, that it might not be appropriate. I do believe that in this case, it is appropriate. And I do think the peculiar circumstances to this lot is that it's a 92-foot lot on a street that has essentially nothing but 30-foot lots. And so to me, to not have a variance and not allow them to do what every other lot essentially on the block has done and has had the same privilege to do does treat them in a different way. It does deprive them of, if you will, the same rights that everybody else on the block has to have their houses on their 30-foot lot. So, you know, our city has a housing crisis. We're trying to provide as much housing as humanly possible. My client can develop this with two larger houses. Certainly, it's not that it takes away the use of the property, but we believe here the 30-foot lot is appropriate due to the surrounding area and very consistent and similar to the variance we requested in March of last year that you approved. We would request that you would also approve this variance so that we can build three infill houses on the block. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McCorkle? All right. Thank you so much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? You'll raise your hand. If you're online, use the raise your hand feature and we'll recognize you. Nobody? All right, well, at this time we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I didn't want to know if we received any public comment after the deadline or anything for this.
I did not receive any public comment either direction.
That was all.
Okay. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything?
No.
Mrs. Jarrett?
Always an issue, but since he hasn't applied for a parking variance, I'm assuming that he's going to provide parking.
As far as I know, we're going to meet whatever the parking requirements are. It hasn't been designed yet.
Thank you.
All right. Would someone like to make a motion?
I move to grant petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Variance. Or the motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 116 East Henry Street, variance to the minimum interior side yard setback, 23-000477.
All right. Item 116 East Henry Street is requesting a variance to reduce the minimum side yard interior setback requirement from 3 feet to 0 feet to allow the construction of a two-story carriage house with a workshop storage space on the first floor and an accessory dwelling unit on the second floor at the rear of 116 East Henry Street, which is what's existing right now has been approved for demolition through historic preservation, and they are now going forward to get a two-story ADU building. The stair to the second floor is the subject of the request. As the ADU is located on the second floor, they need an exterior staircase to access it, and they're wanting to have the same footprint as the existing garage. So because of that, they only have the 3 feet on the side, and they need to use that for the exterior staircase. This is their proposed drawing of the carriage house in the rear of the property, and this is the primary residence. The historic main building was constructed in 1871 as a contributing resource within the National Register Victorian Historic District and the local Victorian Historic District. The storage shed, which is currently at the rear of the property, is in deteriorating condition and is listed as non-contributing. The applicant will be demolishing the existing garage and building a new two-story carriage house. Currently, many of the Victorian-era structures remain intact with carriage houses as part of the development pattern. On November 21st, 2022, the Historic Preservation Commission approved the design of the carriage house and recommended a variance to the side yard setback per 22-005077-COA. And this is the side elevation of the proposed carriage house. Bless you. This is the site plan. So here is the existing primary structure. And this is their adjacent neighbor. And this is the proposed two-story accessory structure. And so right now they have enough room here for the side setback, but with the staircase being constructed there, it would go to zero lot line. Let me continue with that. Let me read you through some of the staff's findings. The requested variance is not likely to be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare of the community. The parcel recently demolished a non-contributing garage to the rear of the property. The reason for the variance request is to have the ability to construct an ADU on site in the same footprint as the recently demolished non-contributing garage. The request to construct a staircase into the required 3-foot side yard is a minimal request. The literal interpretation of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights enjoyed by the rest of the community. However, the applicant could build in a smaller footprint to not encroach into the required 3-foot minimum interior side yard setback. Based on the variance criteria, staff recommends approval with one condition. No portion of the building shall encroach into the setback other than the staircase being proposed. Thank you. I'm here for any questions. Applicant is Shaw Architecture and Interiors. I'm not sure if they are here via Zoom. I don't see them in person.
Are there any questions for Mrs. Leto? All right, thank you very much. Go ahead, Mr. Jared.
Couldn't they put the stairs on the face that's in between the house and the carriage house? I mean, they could make it narrower, obviously, but they could also put it between the two structures.
Yeah, I mean, normally I would suggest the architect speak about that, but it's not here. But yes, you're correct.
Has the fire department weighed in on this at all?
Not that I know of at this time. They would at building permit phase.
And the applicant is not here?
For continuance. If it was over here?
No, if it were here.
Oh, no, she was thinking the front. No, not at this time. They're not here.
The applicant is not here at all. Okay.
And not in Zoom land.
Move to continue.
Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to continue this petition until the next meeting. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on that motion? Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jared?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and this petition is continued until next month. Before we move forward, am I correct in assuming we have a new board member?
Yes, my name's Armand Turner.
Nice to meet you.
Glad to be here. Sorry for running late.
When appointed. Okay. All right, Mrs. Leto, the motion passed and we're going to continue that to the next meeting.
Okay.
Next, we're going to hear the petition for 222 East 53rd Street, a variance to the minimum interior yard setback, 23-000490.
All right. 222 East 53rd Street. The applicant is requesting a side yard setback variance to extend the front facade of an existing storage building. So what's in rectangle-shaped colored red is the existing accessory structure, which is currently a storage space for the property owner. And it's been there. And so what the blue rectangle symbolizes is the 8-foot front addition that they are proposing. And that's what the currently the existing storage unit is at zero setback line to the side. And they want to extend that zero setback line. The zoning is RSF6 and is also located within the Ardmore Conservation District. It's approximately 6,098.4 square feet in size, the parcel. The subject property is located on East 53rd Street between Batty Street and Haversham Street with lane access from East 52nd Lane. The parcel includes a one-story single-family residence built in 1938 and a wooden storage building located to the rear of the property built in 1980. The storage building is a total of 288 square feet in size and is non-conforming with the RSF6 development standards regarding the minimum rear yard and side yard setback requirements. The applicant is intending to construct an addition to the front of the existing storage building. The proposed addition would be an 8-foot extension, approximately 104 square feet. Because the existing building is on the property line, the 8-foot extension is an encroachment. And I'll show you what the existing storage building looks like currently. And so instead of butting 5 feet inward where they would avoid a variance request, it also would cost them to have another roof line and also affects like not being in an efficient space. The applicant is an artist and they're proposing to use this as an artist workshop. Going through the staff's findings, the requested variance is not likely to be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare of the community. The existing non-contributing garage to the rear of the property has been non-conforming to the rear and side yard since its construction in the 1980s. The subject storage building's eaves and the adjacent property storage building's eaves are very close to one another. There have been gutters put in place on both structures within the side yard. The applicant received a letter of support from the adjacent neighbor to expand the front of the existing garage 8 feet to the front of the property. The request to construct an 8-foot addition or an additional 104 square feet to the existing 288 square feet garage is a non-detrimental request in this case. Let me show you, I believe the applicant received at least 3 letters of support, one from her adjacent neighbor. So this one's from 226 East 53rd. And she's their next door neighbor, which is the one that would be most affected by the eaves and the zero encroachment, zero setback encroachment. And then there's one from 219 East 53rd Street. And then the third one, I believe, is from 217 East 53rd Street. And let's see, let's move back. There are no special exceptions peculiar to this property. The existing storage building is non-conforming to the side and rear yard setback requirements for an accessory structure. The proposed addition could be constructed to butt out 5 feet from the side yard property line and would not require a variance. This, however, is an inefficient use of space. The variance, if granted, would confer special privileges that is denied to similar properties within the RSF6 zoning district. However, the development pattern in the Ardmore Conservation District consists of mostly single-family homes with accessory structures non-conforming to the rear and side yard setbacks and adjacent to accessory structures that are placed close together. Staff's recommendation, based on the variance criteria, recommends approval to allow for an 8-foot forward extension of the existing storage building with a 0-foot side yard setback.
Thank you.
The property owner is here as well to speak.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mrs. Leto? All right. Thank you very much. Would the applicant please come forward?
I'm Nancy Oosterhout.
And I'm Rosemary Schuster, and we're co-owners of the property.
Okay.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
I'd just like to thank Mr. Bolton and Melissa and Mr. Lotson for guiding me through this process, which was very helpful.
Okay. Are there any questions for the applicant? All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And if you're online, we'll remind you to use the raise your hand feature. All right. Well, Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I did want to say that I'm friends with Ms. Schuster, but outside of that,
no. Okay.
Just to let you know.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Turner, you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, the chair will entertain a motion.
I move for approval.
Second.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the request for variance. It's seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the variance is granted. Lastly, we're going to hear the petition for 2200 Waters Avenue. The reestablishment of a non-conforming use. This is file number
23-00495. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is a request to reestablish a non-conforming use. The property is at 2200 Waters Avenue. The petitioner is requesting to reestablish a vehicle repair business at that location. The property is on the east side of Waters Avenue. It is operated, had operated in the past as a major vehicle repair operation. It's at the southeastern corner of the intersection of Waters Avenue and East 38th Street. And it's within a TC1 zoning classification. Within that zoning district, there are two types of vehicle repair that are permitted within the zoning ordinance. One is classified as minor and one is classified as major. In the TC1 district, minor vehicle repair is permitted. Major vehicle repair is not permitted. So prior to the new zoning ordinance being adopted, this property was in a commercial district that did permit major vehicle repair, and this site had operated for, best I can tell, probably more than 30 years as a vehicle repair under various owners or various operators of that type of business at that location. In conjunction with the adoption of the new ordinance and the establishment of the new zoning district, the property became non-conforming. Also, there was no active business license associated with that property for many years. So there had not been a legally operating vehicle repair at that site for a long time. These are photos of Waters Avenue. The subject property is on the right, the blue building here. The petitioner is a potential new operator of a vehicle repair facility at this site. And just to differentiate a little bit between what the ordinance considers minor versus major, minor vehicle repair is described as things that typically include services such as brake repair, oil and fluid changes, tire repair and installation, and tune-ups and other similar activities. And major vehicle repair is considered engine and transmission services, body work, repair of commercial vehicles, and just generally heavier commercial heavier repair type work. The development pattern along this portion of Waters Avenue is typically non-residential uses abutting Waters and then residential uses on the intersecting east-west streets. In that area kind of between Victory Drive and 37th Street, that pattern is very typical. This site is consistent with that pattern. This is another photograph of the property. It is a three-bay garage with a small office space. And in reviewing the criteria for the reestablishment of a non-conforming use, the ordinance states in section 3.24.7 that the Zoning Board of Appeals may authorize the reestablishment of a non-conforming use given that all the criteria are met. And we reviewed the criteria, and I'm going to go through them here. The first is that the design of the building cannot readily accommodate a permitted use in the zoning district. This building was clearly designed as a vehicle repair facility. It's operated as such for many years. In staff's opinion, cannot be easily retrofitted for many of the other uses that are permitted within the TC1 zoning district. So we find that that criteria is met. The next criteria is that the building has not been substantially redesigned during the non-conforming period. This building has remained the same for as long as it's really been here. There's been some paint, but other than that, it has not really changed. The footprint has remained the same, the number of bays, et cetera. So we find that that criteria is also met. The next criteria is that the proposed reestablished use is not a detriment to adjacent uses. Staff finds that the property has been used for many years at the site, has not been a detriment. On-site activity is likely to increase noise during business hours. However, Waters Avenue is a commercial corridor, so some level of activity is expected at that site. So we again find that the criteria is met. And the next criteria is that the proposed use is the same as the most recent non-conforming use. And this property has always been used as a vehicle repair facility. Lastly, it discusses general site standards compliance. Staff finds that while no significant changes are being proposed to the site, the business is likely to operate in a similar way to previous operators. However, to protect the integrity of the neighborhood, we are recommending some conditions with our recommendation. Based on the compliance with the criteria, staff is recommending approval to reestablish the non-conforming use, and we are also recommending the following conditions. One, that a solid fence at least 5 feet in height be established parallel to Waters Avenue between the building facade and the driveway. So essentially in the area sort of where you see that pickup truck, that landscape improvements be installed between the fence and the sidewalk consistent with the type A buffer. A type A buffer per the ordinance includes small trees and understory shrubs. And we also recommending that the hours of operation not exceed 7 a to 7 p. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I'll pull up those recommended conditions as well. If there's any questions of the board, I'll be happy to answer those. The applicant is also present to answer questions.
Prior to Nuzo, was there a differentiation between heavy automotive work and light automotive work?
There was. However, the zoning district that was on this property at the time permitted major vehicle repair.
Okay. I see. Mr. Jerry, do you have any questions?
Is there anything we can do about the number of vehicles that are kept there? I know a couple of places where.
And that's a great question, Ms. Jarrett. And we've had that discussion, not specific to this case, but also in other cases that address vehicle repair. There are other city codes that address that. And it is kind of an enforcement nightmare, really, to put it in a condition on something like a this type of zoning approval, but those property maintenance issues, I think, is what you're getting at, can be addressed through the city code, through code compliance, and there are many examples, as you've probably seen, of vehicle repair places that have those issues with vehicle storage over a long period of time. We didn't think it was appropriate to place it as a condition here because it can be dealt with from a code compliance standpoint.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Ms. Jones?
No more than the neighbor, because it appears that a house is next door to it.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that neighbor feel about?
Well, we did, and to Ms. Jones' point here, there was I believe this is a triplex located immediately east of the subject property. We did notify that property owner as well as the others in the area. We did not get any correspondence. I should add, though, just brought that up, and I didn't mention it during the presentation. There was one letter of support, which is attached to the petition, and this is from the owner of 2304 Waters Avenue.
Is that the one next to it?
Not the adjacent residence, no. But I just wanted to let that be known.
Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you very much. Would a petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Mayor Samoor. I'm the owner of the property. The building was built back in 1991. I purchased it in 2007, and it was already occupied by a tenant. And since then, there was three other tenants that took over. It's always been a garage. There was never complaints by any of the neighbors. And 2016, I believe, the last tenant had left, and I used it for a storage, for my personal storage. I own a few properties, so I used it for my storage. And it was, and I think that's when they switched it, because I never received the rezoning for it to be rezoned, because I always get rezoning anytime something happens close to one of my properties, I would receive one. I did not receive one, or otherwise I would have attended to try to, you know, prevent it. Payne came to me and told me that he wanted to rent it from me, I moved all my stuff across the street. So I have another building across the street from the garage, and told him that I would rent it to him. When he came to apply for his license, that's when they told him that it's not zoned for a garage. And that's why we're here today, try to get it back into to be in a garage.
Are there any questions for the applicant? Mr. Blunt, do you have anything?
Yeah, what were yours or the applicant's thoughts on the conditions that they had mentioned? Were you all in favor of those? Were you opposed to any of those three conditions?
I think the fence, we were going to put a fence in. We talked to the city. I think Mr. Henderson, and he told them not to do anything right now, to wait till it passes, because it won't make sense to put a fence, and then if it doesn't pass, then you'll just be losing money.
Right.
So we have no problem with putting a fence. I think I heard him say something about trees and shrubs. We got no problem with that. What was the third thing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he stays open after 7. You wanna plan on staying open from 7 to 7? No, I think they close at 5 o'clock. They would close at 5.
So you
already wrote a lease with him. He's got a 3-year lease with an option to renew for another 3-year lease. And when he came to present that, you know, so he could open up, that's when they told him that it's no longer zoned for a garage. But it's always been a garage ever since it opened in 1991.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other questions for the applicant? Okay.
I was just thinking about the time restraints, whether that. And they agreed to that time opening and closing?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because they close at 5. They're going to close at 5 o'clock, so they won't be till after 7. It'll be at 5 o'clock.
Okay, because I know sometimes they work late in, you know, people late in the afternoon on vehicles. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, thanks.
Mr. Plunk?
No, thank you.
Mr. Condon?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
No, thank you, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No, thank you.
Okay. Would someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation with conditions.
A second.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the variance per staff recommendations along with their conditions, and Mrs. Jones has made a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and variance is granted. And seeing there is no other business, we'll call this meeting adjourned.